Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
The home run king, Roger Maris.
There it goes! Number 60!
When you know you're real close to something, you're going to try and gun for it.
Number 61! He ties Roger Maris.
This is something special, but we're not done yet.
Ready, waiting, anxious. High fly ball, deep left. He's done it! 62! Aaron Judge is the American League single season home run leader. Case closed.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, the ESPN app. ESPNU. Click more on the ESPN app, by the way. It's on the lower right-hand corner. Scroll down to live radio. You can take us with you wherever you go. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and you can be a part of Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Nation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. Call us at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. ESPN Nation is presented by Dr. Pepper. It ain't college football season without the delicious taste of an ice-cold Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve. He did it. Aaron Judge hit six. I was getting nervous, guys. I was thinking, so a couple games left, man. What if he's sitting on 61? He did it. He hit his 62nd home run. I was very excited last night. Very excited.
Yes, I was extremely excited, too, being woke up from my sleep.
Is that why you wore your Dodgers shirt today? You just wanted to make a
little. He had it on yesterday.
Make a statement about, you know, who's the real team?
Oh, no. It ain't had none. I'm not raining on Aaron Judge and the Yankees parade. This ain't about the Dodgers. This is about a guy who just hit 62, and now the debate in the conversation turns to what's the real home run record? Is it the 73 that I kind of go back and forth on with Barry Bonds, or is it the Aaron Judge, which Max seems to think is the clean version of what goes on in baseball?
Go ahead.
It's the not obviously dirty version. I think it's a little different, but I would say this. The 73 count in the sense that they counted all the runs. You know, those were Major League Baseball sanctioned games. The runs counted. The runs helped them get to the playoffs. All that stuff counted. I get it. But I think when we recognize records that people set, we're really speaking to their ability. And Bonds, his baseline of ability that he established over more than a decade was as high as Aaron Judge's is right now. Before the juice, Barry Bonds was. And I'm not just looking at home runs, guys. I'm looking at his on-base and slugging percentages, right? Because sometimes you hit the hell out of the ball, but it doesn't have the same trajectory, so it's a double instead of a home run, stuff like that. Barry Bonds was slugging in the mid-high sixes, which is what Judge did, high sixes this year, way before he tripled in size and his forehead blew up and he hit all the home, 73 home runs. He was already one of the greatest players ever. I want to be very clear. I never dispute that. He's a first-ballot Hall of Famer. Nothing can change that. What I'm saying is, at a certain point, what he was fundamentally changed. It's not like he reestablished some previous standard he set. He far surpassed anything he ever did in his late 30s. That's when I'm like, okay.
Well, Max,
so I know what that is. Let me give you an example, Jay. So I said he's so incredible. He had juiced numbers pre-juice. Mm-hmm. 450 on base, 660 slugging, stuff like that. Then all of a sudden, one day he wakes up. At the age of 36, same ballpark, same external circumstances, everything, 515 on base, 863 slugging. Like, it's a cartoon. It's not, Jay, that'd be like someone averaged 60 points a game on 75% shooting from three. You know, like, all of a sudden, they just did it. And so, like, he turned into something he's not, right? McGuire and Sosa, same thing. Judge, on the other hand, came into the league, set a certain standard, so did McGuire, but then he never fell off the standard. He was always really good, never slugged under 500. After his rookie year, McGuire never slugged 500 again until all of a sudden he was killing the game. Judge set a standard, and this is his best season, yes, but it's not such an outlier that you look at his record and you go, no, he couldn't have done that. This is different than anything he's ever been. You see what I mean? There's a difference between that and the other guys.
You just gave me a Yankees 30 for 30 right there. That was beautifully.
Yes, thank you. Well,
very well said, Key. You know what I mean? Let me jump in for 1 second about all this, because I think that you both are kind of missing the mark. And I know, Max, you're going to geek out. Aaron Judge, you're a Yankee fan. What he's done is incredible. I mean, I've said it before. He's the LeBron James of baseball. Just when you see him body, size, frame, still chasing the triple crown, everything's right there. Let me just tell y'all something, though, man. I'm a spiteful dude. I'm petty, okay? somebody does me wrong 5 years, 10 years ago, I just mark it down. I keep it moving. I stay positive, but I mark it down. If I have a chance to get you back in a slight little way,
Jay is fueled
by hate.
I'm going
to get you back. Yes. No, well, that, I mean, look, I'm an athlete, right? Like, yeah, little things you find to motivate yourself.
Sure.
I'm just going to tell y'all, Aaron Judge got y'all exactly where he wants every Yankee fan right now. Every Yankee fan.
No doubt.
I just broke the record. I'm in a contract year. You didn't want to give me the money. We got an owner that wants to penny pinch me, right? Pennies on the dollar, not pay me. So
preach.
Right now, if we're on this verge of getting to a World Series and I'm having the best season in the history of baseball offensively, I'm not going to come back and be a Yankee. I'm going to go somewhere else and get my money, go where I want to be.
See what Jay is saying?
To a team and an owner that appreciates me.
See what
me,
Jay is saying?
And then
Key,
make my mark here and then let everybody be sulky and sour.
Key, you see what Jay is doing?
And I don't think Aaron
today,
Judge
Max.
Is going to –
You know
Aaron
what he's
Judge
doing, Key?
Even play in that situation at all, Max, because, if anywhere in baseball and you're doing what he has done, 62 home runs, and Max says, you know, Max – honors it a little more than the Barry Bonds 73, and Yankee fans probably do the same thing. Guys, the Yankee owners realize what they have.
They do,
but it's a business. And if you say that you're going to allow somebody to bet on themselves, because they don't want egg yolk on their face at the end of the day, you can't let a guy like this
Key.
Walk out the building.
Key, do you
they
see
don't
what Jay
let
is
guys
doing?
Like this walk out the building. They just don't in professional sports. They become super bad owners if they do.
Key, it's when you sometimes say something about football, I listen very closely and I try to read between the lines because you're not pulling it out of the ether. You talk to a lot of people. And so some things you can say on air, some things you can't. Sometimes you talk to people and with your football knowledge and experience, you know what it really means. And you try to give people messages and sometimes they listen, sometimes they don't. This is the distinct impression I get from listening to Jay, who's a Mets fan with some clout and talks to a lot of people. I think, Jay, that you have reason to believe that, in fact, Aaron Judge will be a Met next year. And by the way, Key, I am nervous about that. I'm not taking that lightly as a Yankee fan. I think there's a real possibility that if Judge is like, oh, yeah, I'll stay in New York, fine. Oh, this is, you know, I'm comfortable here, whatever. But I'm going to go across the street and take the money over there just to let the Yankees know. That is a real possibility. If the Red Sox are interested, that is a real possibility. All of the Yankees' most hated rivals
Max,
will be in on this.
There's only one team that he's going to, and that's the San Francisco Giants.
And it could be the Giants.
Could be the
that's
Giants.
That's the only team.
Could easily be the Giants.
Be the Giants.
And here's why. You don't leave the New York Yankees to go across the street. You want to stay aligned with the Babe Ruths of the world, the Roger Maris's of the world, right? You want to stay right in that stripe, pinstripe era. You don't want to be the Mets are cool. There's nothing wrong with big money, but he can get the money from the Yankees, even though the Yankees may have said, "Well, we don't want to do that right now. We don't want to do it right now." You don't think that they want to do it now? Of course,
he might be spiteful, like Jay said.
That's what I'm. But Key,
you're not going to be that spiteful, man. You're not going to take your legacy and run across the street with. Think about what I'm saying.
Hold on, Key. I just watched Devontae Adams and his legacy. He'd be like, "All right, I'm out, Green Bay."
Yeah. But
wait. Time we talk about Aaron Rodgers being one of the greatest quarterbacks the game of football has ever seen. Now, whether that's translated to multiple Super Bowls, still to be determined, right? But we watch. It happens in sports all the time just because not everybody thinks about legacy according to like, well, I need to be in pinstripes. It's like, yo, this is a new era where
unfortunately you're
like,
right.
I can go out and do my own thing and my legacy will speak for itself. Like, I want to be where I want to be and play for who I want to play for. It doesn't have to do anything with history of an organization anymore.
Certain,
it don't work that way.
There's just certain organizations, in my opinion, in professional sports, that this certainly works. Devontae Adams is not the giant of the sport.
LeBron James
Aaron
left
Judge,
Cleveland to go down to Miami.
But he wasn't the giant of the sport at that
LeBron
time.
LeBron James was to the giant.
But also Miami's a much
basketball. He
no,
was
he
to
was
the
not.
Giant.
Miami is
he
a
was
was
not,
chosen
he
one.
A
he was on the cover of Sports Illustrated
I,
when he was
I'm
going to
leave it alone.
Miami
old,
is
Jay,
a sexier market
not,
than Cleveland.
But he is
1,000%,
not.
But it's not a New York or L.A. He didn't get to L.A. later in his career.
That's one thing. But at that time that he left, the Cleveland Cavs to go to the Miami Heat. He was not the giant of the sport, Jay.
Key, I will debate. I will die on that hill. LeBron James has been the king of the sport, regardless of what he wants to say. He was at the best player in the sport from the moment
yet.
It didn't matter.
Yes,
from the moment he walked into an NBA arena.
Guys,
LeBron
we need to continue
James
this. We need to continue
that
this.
Dude,
let me just say that I agree with both of what you're saying in terms of this about what's crystallized about Aaron Judge. If he walks out the door from the Bronx and the Yankees want to keep him after this season, and Jay, you're right, people are starting to try to set new legacies. It's a new age. And Key, you're also right. That never happens to the Yankees, but it could happen. And if it does, the signal is the Yankees, as we knew them, the brand is dead. The brand as we knew it is dead, and they're going to have to try to create something new. That's what's at stake for this franchise.
Well,
they never let a guy like that walk
out
the door.
So you can come be a Dodger. We got some money.
All right, we want to hear from you. Which single season home run number do you recognize? The PED era of first it was 70 and then 73, and Sosa hit more than 60 at least two or three times. He hit 66 was his high. Or 62 by Aaron Judge, whose physical appearance never suddenly and dramatically changed, coupled with a difference in production. Man. We want to hear from you.
Listen to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max live everywhere you are. Download the ESPN app. Tap the More tab on the bottom right. Scroll down and tap Live Radio. ESPN Radio, everywhere you are.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
So, Jay? The Braves just clinched the NL East. Fifth straight season.
You know what? You just
tried to scare me about Judge going to the Mets. It's a real threat.
I just feel like
now
today,
you're going to get it.
I just feel like today we should focus on Aaron Judge and the Yankees' success.
Key, I'll tell you, the Mets have been tied or leading their division at the NL East after the conclusion of all but two of their first 157 games this season. They led Atlanta by 10.5 games on June 1st.
So much for that.
So much for that. They just got swept against the Braves. The Mets did. They went from a one-game lead to two games down with the money on the line.
This is how I look at it.
And Atlanta got the tiebreaker and everything.
This is how I look at it.
No, you tried to.
No, I didn't.
You successfully scared me about Judge going to the Mets. I know you talked to people. I'm legitimately worried even before you said that he's going to go to the Mets. And now it's your turn.
All I'm saying is this was a self-inflicted wound by Mets. I mean, every Mets fans, we know this. You had two of your aces on the mound against the Braves. You can't win a game. All you need to do is win one game. Win one. Right? But now we're going to play the Padres in the wild card. Right? 4-5 seed. I get it.
Wild card's scary now.
Scary,
too.
Man. Yeah. But that's – look, at the end of the day, I hope that DeGrom, I hope that Scherzer and these guys get focused and locked in considering we gave it away. We gave it away. And that's what it is. We're not the Dodgers. We're not the Yankees. I get it. Braves coming on hot late. I'm getting texts from damn Harry Douglas at 6 o'clock in the morning with smiles and happy faces. Key, I guess this is the life I chose as a fan.
Well, at least you can go to a Mets playoff game.
Yeah, that's true. That's the way to look at it.
What do they got? How many they got at home?
None.
How many will they have
at home? The way the wild card works is – no, the wild – oh, how many games left in the season?
No. How many in the wild card? Do
the
they
wild
have
card, I believe. I have to check to see
they
what rules.
Changing the day.
They
keep changing. Like
they keep changing. But I think it was. I think it's three games on the road for the wild card team.
Yeah, they keep changing. See, I'm never in the wild card, so I really it's hard for me to really follow it.
Listen, we're following a lot of sports. We're watching a lot of football and basketball, and there's not as much.
No, we just win so much. And we always win our division. It's
The Dodgers, you're right.
Yeah, it's tough.
Dodgers are
consistent. I already know we have home stands because we win our division. So it's,
Dodgers are the best run team in baseball. So, and the Dodgers are the best run team among the rich teams in baseball, among the richest teams. They got, of all the teams with a lot of money, they're the best run.
Yeah, Jay, we just sometimes, you try to figure out what game you want to go to at home, during the playoffs.
It's true. You know what, Key? You are the worst.
It's true. Hey, Hal Steinbrenner, you hear this? What Key is saying is true. I've got no comeback to it. What Jay is saying about the Mets might wind up with Judge, I got no comeback. Nice job, Hal Steinbrenner. Nice job.
Might is a big one. That's a stretch.
Undoing his father's legacy.
You know us athletes, man. We petty, Key. We petty.
From your radio to your smart speaker and phone.
Now playing ESPN Radio.
Or watch on ESPN2. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Live weekday morning starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Aaron Judge is the American League single-season home run leader.
It's one of the best seasons I know that I've ever seen.
Had my name next to, someone as great as Roger Maris, Babe Ruth, those guys is incredible.
So it's not like performance enhancers are out of sports now. Keyshawn J. Willimax, ESPN Radio. We're on ESPNU now too, and of course on the ESPN app. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. So there was a performance enhancing era where, and it's not like they're out of it now, but where there was very obvious in the statistical record and physically watching the players who had set standards for sometimes 10 years and more that this is the player they are. Suddenly, they became many standard deviations better than they had ever been, no matter how good they were in the past, right?
Yep.
And you could see very clearly what was going on. Now, listen, it's a different era now. A lot of guys do stuff and you just don't know. Sometimes they come in the league already that way. Sometimes they got micro-dosing and stuff like that. So I'm not claiming, so the argument, well, you don't know who's clean now is not what I'm talking about.
I really don't care about that at all, Max, to be honest with you, because I don't think that really applies to the number for me, right? Mm-hmm. When you talk about 73, whether it was a person allegedly was filthy dirty or whether a person was clean or whatever the case is, it doesn't apply to it. I'm talking about the 62 versus the 73. He still hit 73.
He did. They all counted.
Regardless.
They all counted.
Right? Thank you,
but
kid.
My point
they
is all we counted. Celebrate records based on the reflection of someone's ability.
If we didn't know that it was the PED error, we wouldn't be saying nothing. We would just be like, oh, he hit 73.
Yeah,
and
but
Judge
we know.
Is chasing 73. But see, think we know, right? Yeah. Even though kind of we know.
Oh, no, we know back then. We just don't know about everyone
That's
today.
What I'm saying.
Yeah,
We kind of know back then. We don't know.
Key, when we were 13 years old, think back at this. You were a baseball fan. Did anyone not know of any of your friends about Canseco back then? Everyone, remember when Canseco went 40-40? Right. There wasn't a kid alive who just didn't assume that he was juicing it. It turned out to be true. Everyone knew it.
Well, you can kind of
you can look at him. Tell if you had eyeballs.
Yeah, that one's pretty obvious.
Yeah, that was obvious. McGuire, Sosa, and Bonds. It was obvious. They made it very obvious.
I have a hard time with, okay, so what confuses me and why I have a hard time with it, because they did not admit it, right? So when you say, yeah, like a Canseco says, yeah, I did it, I'm like, I can accept that. But when you got Barry, even though we know his body changed and things, we know, but he never said, yeah, I did it, and it was because my knee hurt in this. You know what I'm saying?
Let me give you an example, though, Key. Let's say someone their whole career came in the league. They're stupid fast. They run a 4.3 40, right? And they were hovering between 4.3 and 4.4, basically, anytime they were measured for 10, 12 years. And then suddenly, 12 years in, they're running a 3.9 40. Because that's what he did. He ran a 3.9 40. So, like, and he was already the fastest. He was a 4.2, right? And all of a sudden, it's a 3. The years into his career,
Max,
he's running a 3.9.
Don't do that, because I know people that
right, but you don't need to know.
I know
you don't need a receipt from Balco. You don't need an admission. You know it's not humanly possible to go from that for 10, 12 years, and suddenly you're the fastest person ever by such a measure that no one's even near you. Like, of course, that everyone knows what that is. What are we? And it would be one thing if you said, well, he changed ballparks. The porch was nearer. They changed the ball. They lowered the mound. They watered down the league with expansion pitching. They changed the rule. None of that happened. He just woke up one day like the Incredible Hulk. Boom. And when I say he, I mean McGuire, Sosa, Bonds. And there were a bunch of other dudes in that era, but they were the ones setting the home run records, right?
Allegedly.
All right. Look, John in Texas has something to say.
Look, Judge's record is legit. You can take two students that are up for valedictorian at Harvard University. One did it the right way by burning the midnight oil. The other student did it by cheating. Now, who should be the valedictorian? I mean, it's very simple. Forget Bonds at 73. He did it the right. He cheated. Thank you.
Yep. I think there's a lot of resentment too, because I get this in Twitter a lot. I'll be the one to bring it up again. It breaks down along racial lines, because when McGuire and Sosa were doing it, there was not the same outrage about steroids and human growth hormone, right? But then when Bonds did it, everyone was all of a sudden, wait a minute. And so I understand sometimes there's backlash. Oh, time out.
You think that was it, man?
100%. Oh, that was very clear to me. I don't know if it was racial. Probably.
See, I don't think that was it.
He was so good it became ridiculous, Bonds.
Yeah,
he became better than you're allowed to be.
I think it was the duping of our minds, making us think we see something different than what we see. I think that's what it is. It was like, I ain't do nothing. And he kept doubling down and tripling down. And I didn't do it. I think that's what it is more so than racial lines, because Sammy Sosa is dark skin. Well,
yeah. Oh, jeez. Oh,
no,
geez.
But you know what?
What?
But you
oh
know
my
what?
God, Key.
What?
There's a long. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. That's an important.
Hey, yo.
That's an important point in the history of baseball. Like, there was a different attitude towards Latin American players, even if it was, you know, even if they were not African American, right? But
no,
Latin American.
I was gonna,
Afro,
yeah, I was gonna say,
yeah, go ahead.
I was gonna say he was of, you know, he was dark skinned.
Yes.
Yeah. Over time, his skin tones have changed to colors. And that's what made me pause for a little bit there.
All right,
isn't
I understand
the whole
what you're
foundation
saying.
Of baseball found yep. upon cheating?
Yeah.
And drugs, pretty much.
Not foundation, but that's gone on throughout history.
Throughout history.
The cheating is not what bothers me. It's the effectiveness of the cheating. It's the clear. It's I don't care if you cheat, but if you cheat in a way that turns you into something you never were, now I got an issue.
But I've known of athletes that have, quote unquote, in your book, cheated. It doesn't help your hand-eye coordination.
It does.
Not the athletes I've spoken to.
Yeah, it's,
it might make your endurance better. It might make you stronger.
Hand-eye coordination.
It doesn't make
too.
You connect on the ball differently.
Yeah, it does. It actually
How?
Does.
Have you done it?
There was a lot of talk with medical professionals and everything around the time of the steroid at the so-called PED era. And because it wasn't just home runs and stuff. Batting averages went through the
Jay,
roof. Everything went through the roof.
It certainly does, because it helps your recovery.
And helps if your you, recovery.
And if you, Wait. I was going to say, if you are recovering, you are aware, right? Your hand-eye coordination is, your motor skills are intact.
Okay.
Where you're tired, you're fatigued. You know how it is. You're tired, you're fatigued. You kind of not paying attention to everything that's going on.
But, Key, I've also known people that have done it where their stats have been the same. It hasn't helped them.
In basketball
There are certain people dabbled in PEDs and you worse than you were.
Like, what happened to you?
You're not even good. There are certain people. There's no question. There's certain people like that.
Why can't we recognize both? Like that. Why can't we recognize both? How come we can't just talk
about, as I said,
one during the time was the standard, right?
The fact of the matter is, all those home runs that Bonds hit counted in the record. Like, they helped win games. Those games are not being taken away. That's true. They all went over the fence. That is true. It's just, I know that the odds that he could have ever done that without help are exactly zero, because I have a huge body of evidence that he set a standard that was incredibly high, but nowhere near where it became. All right. Jerry Jones says quarterback Dak Prescott is not ready yet, but he left the door open for Sunday, guys. Do the Cowboys need Dak even? I didn't even understand that at first.
I stopped.
Do they even need that against the Rams? Do they need Dak?
Listen to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max live everywhere you are. Download the ESPN app. Tap the More tab on the bottom right. Scroll down and tap Live Radio. ESPN Radio, everywhere you are.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We all go through things socially where we don't feel like ourselves, where we don't feel like going out, where we feel drained, or we're not bursting with energy. And when you're not feeling right, that's where BetterHelp can come in. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries in so many different ways, for which it empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who experience major trauma. Therapy is for more than those people, and it's there to help you. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. It's there for you. It's there to help you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Garage under pressure, throws deep, skinny post, lock in, see it.
Coop Rush a heck of a lot better than I thought he'd be.
I just can't say enough about how his play has done for this team this season.
No, they shouldn't stick with Cooper Rush if Dak Prescott is healthy and ready to go. What they should do is stick to the Cooper Rush game plan.
He doesn't have the talent to take that offense to a different level, and that's why I don't think there'll be a controversy.
Jerry Jones says Dak Prescott is not ready yet, but he did leave the door open for a Sunday return. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and ESPNU. Also, on your smart speakers, also you can download the podcast. So here's Jerry Jones, Cowboys owner and GM. Not saying which hat he's wearing, though, because Jerry Jones, the GM, yelled at Jerry Jones, the owner, a couple weeks ago. I wish he would stop. Jerry Jones, the owner, would stop getting me in trouble. All right, here he is on 105.3 The Fan.
It's better. He's going to go out there every day and make progress toward being able to grip the ball. Considering the location of the injury, I don't know that you could make any more progress.
Is he able to grip the football now?
No, not well enough to play. We're just starting the week. Let's see how the week goes.
Is his grip going to slow down if Cooper Rush beats the Rams, Key?
Is his grip going to slow
down? In other words, his healing.
You mean speed up?
No. I'm saying Will the Cowboys be like, you know what, let's get make sure that grip is really 100% if Cooper Rush beats the Rams?
Oh, you mean the Cowboys are going to say that?
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting what Jerry Jones said right there about being able to grip and rip the football. That was Tuesday, which was yesterday. Today is the first day, typically, that teams really go to work on the football field. And if he can get Wednesday, I don't even know if he could take snaps right now. So if he's not practicing today, he's probably not going to be ready for the Rams. And because you've got to practice today. You can't just practice on Thursday and Friday because Saturday ain't nothing. That's like we just chilling on Saturday and then the game is on Sunday. So what I would say is that he most likely isn't going to play. Jerry's just giving an update, as Jerry always does, in these situations. The Cooper Rush experience has gone extremely well for them. And as of right now, you roll him out. Because when I'm watching Cooper Rush versus the first game of the year against with Dak, Cooper Rush looks smooth. Dak, everything just looks so herky-jerky. It's falling back, throwing the football, not stepping into it, not climbing the pocket. Just little bitty things like that that I think when he comes back, we'll probably see. But Cooper Rush is certainly doing that right now.
Look, Jerry Jones, to me, Key, is a mastermind at marketing. But sometimes the hype machine gets a little bit off the track. And I think that's what this was for me from the beginning as it related to Dak Prescott. Because I kept being the one to say, why say anything as it relates to his timeline? You don't know what his timeline's going to be. So you're given all these little nuggets here and there. Well, the doctor said it can maybe be 3 weeks.
Keep
it could be
talking.
4 weeks. And you just keep on talking. And I get this is what you do.
Keep us talking.
But, like, and you keep us talking. But, like, why even do that? Like, the reality of it for me is to say.
To keep us talking. You said it.
Yeah, I know. But, like, look, they're playing against the Rams, right? We've seen what the Rams playing against the 49ers, what that defense did to the Rams, right? How many times Matthew Stafford got sacked, right? Okay, so I think something similar is going to happen with the Cowboys. Like, they should be the favorites in the game, even if it is on the road, even if it is a pick'em to a degree. So then your next game, so fine, he's going to play that game, Cooper Rush. Are you going to bring Dak in his first game back after you're still worrying about if he can grip the ball or not?
A week
against the Eagles on the road, a divisional rival?
See, Keith,
why?
That's
no, you bring him back on a home stint against Detroit and the Bears. That's where you allow him to find his groove.
Right, because otherwise, Key, what Jay is saying is exactly right. Imagine this. Cooper Rush, the pass rush, and Cooper Rush, they beat the Rams, still undefeated for his career. He's 1-0 last year, Cooper Rush, and then 4-0 this year, and they just beat the Rams. And now you bring Dak back against the Eagles.
Which pass rush, though?
The Cowboys pass rush, I'm saying. Oh, okay. Right? So now you bring him back against the Eagles, because the Rams didn't fare well against the rush last week. Now you bring him back against the Eagles, maybe the best team in football, and they lose. Now, the way it's going to look to everyone is, hold on, we were winning every game. And then you bring Dak back and we lose to the division rivals. As opposed to, you let Rush play against the Rams if Dak's not ready. Throw him in there against the Eagles, too. What's the worst that could happen? You win? Because if you lose, the whole thing's over. Dak's coming back. He's not good.
He's not playing this week. I don't care what Jerry says. He's not playing this week. It's just not going to happen. If he can't grip the football on a Tuesday, he's not going to grip it on a are they Monday or Sunday? I think it's Sunday. He's not going to be able to grip it on Sunday. And so Jerry has a radio show. Jerry's got it. It's Jerry. He's got a radio show. He's got to give you content every single week. That's just the reality of it. And I understand what you're saying, Jay, about why does he need to say anything at all? Because it's Jerry. That's just what he's doing. It's not a hype machine. Everybody thinks that because it's Jerry. And so people think it's the carnival barker. It's the guy, It's not. That's who he is.
But okay, what
you've you've been around him. I mean, and look, we would have talked about the Cowboys regardless of whether Jerry Jones says stuff. You tell me Cooper Rush, a backup quarterback who's on a winning streak, we're going to talk about the timeline.
Yes, absolutely.
Not as much as we do, though. Like, he gives us stuff to sink our teeth into.
Yeah, but we use the content to lead in the conversation. We still talk about it. It's the Cowboys, man. They're the most talked about team there is on this damn
planet. But that's partly because he keeps it up front and center, right?
As I tried to tell you guys a couple months ago, you're going to talk about the Cowboys
regardless. But wait, but Keith, what about the point that Jay brought up about Cooper Rush and when you bring Dak back. If he's not going to play this week, why throw him in against the Eagles? Now you are setting up a controversy if he loses.
You bring him. Well, there'll never be a controversy.
Well, it may not be a full-blown
Jerry
one,
said. Jerry said that, which I understand. If there's a controversy, great. That means we're winning a lot of games. But in reality, there is no controversy. That we are you guys as the media, so to speak, me as a partner with you guys, we're going to talk about it because Dak is sitting out, Cooper Rush is winning. We're going to turn it into, just like we're doing, should Cooper Rush be the starter moving forward? Should Cooper Rush be the – and we all know in the building, that ain't going to happen. As soon as Dak Prescott is ready to take the ball from underneath the center and lock his thumbs like that and they snap that ball, hey – he's the starting quarterback.
Let me give you another scenario, okay? Cooper Rush starts, beats the Rams. The pass rush, of course, helps, beats the Rams. Now you bring Dak back. His first game actions against the best team in football, and he loses. Could easily happen, right? Plus, it's on the road. Now the Lions game almost becomes like a must-win game. And, Key, I know what you mean. The reality is Dak still got so much money left, they're going to have to play him. I'm just saying, now all of a sudden you got to beat a Lions team that's not so bad anymore. You wind up in a shootout with the Lions, you maybe could lose that game. Can you imagine Dak comes back 0-2 after Cooper Rush is beating every team?
If he loses any games this season, they're going to say, when he comes back, whatever it is, if he comes back in week 9 and he loses in week 13, people are going to say, see, that's why you should have stayed with Cooper Rush. I don't know what y'all thinking. It's all Cooper Rush has already built a legacy in Dallas after 4 games in his career, 3 this year and 1 last year. That's human nature in professional sports in big cities like Dallas.
ESPN analyst Jeff Saturday joins us right now. So, Jeff, we're bringing you into this conversation about Dak Prescott and the timeline about when you think he should come back and play. Max and I kind of agree. I don't know where Key is. Just about, look, if he's not playing versus the Rams, I'm not bringing him back for his first game against the Eagles on the road. I bring him back during a home stint where he's playing against the Lions and the Bears.
Yeah, I bring him back when he's healthy. So, like, if he's truly healthy. So not, hey, he's, you know, he can barely hold the ball, but he can spin it just enough. I think you bring him back when he is completely healthy. So, in my opinion, you heard Russell Wilson, who had this injury, he came back in 3 or 4 weeks and said it was way too soon. He should have waited. You know what I mean? He should have waited a little bit longer. I think when Drew Brees had it, he waited 6 weeks or something to that effect. I would not rush it back, no pun intended. But when you think about Dak Prescott and what's going to be expected of him, his win-loss record to me is going to be irrelevant. Like, Rush isn't winning games for the Cowboys. So, like, if you are a Cowboys fan, I get it. You love it. They're winning games. They haven't scored more than 25 points in any game he's played, right? So he is doing enough to win, and so that should be celebrated. That's what a backup quarterback's job is, to come in and give you 3 or 4 games where you can win. Your defense plays lights out. They keep you – I mean, they were in fourth quarter game against the Giants, right? Like, all these games have been tight, but they found a way to win the end. That's what you're hoping from your backup quarterback. You go week in, week out with this guy. He's not going to go challenge the Eagles and hang up 41 points if that's the type of game you get in, right? So my point is you understand who Dak Prescott is, but he has to be fully healthy. I do not think he'll be healthy for 2 more weeks. I'll be honest with you. I wouldn't start him either this week or the following week. I would wait, but not because of Cooper Rush, because of his thumb. You know, they can both be true. Cooper Rush can be doing just enough to win, but Dak Prescott has to be fully healthy because it's going to be a brutal season and it's going to be a long season, especially the way it's going.
And Jeff is right. It's not about anything except the health, Jeff. And when he's fully healthy to go, if all of a sudden he magically wakes up today and he's ready to go this weekend and ready to practice and Jeff is snapping the football and he's spinning it, he's a starter on Sunday. And if not, then there's nothing to talk about. You protect your players with shoulder breaks, knee problems. That's when you worry about we're rushing him back too soon. Let's extend it out even further. With a hand, I don't necessarily know that he can re-injure that hand going forward because there's going to be pins and plates and all of those sort of things in it. So you want to give it some time. But the moment that he's ready to go, he gets underneath that center immediately.
See, I have a pen in my third metacarpal on my left hand. I re-injured it.
Okay.
My rookie year.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, it
so
can
you
happen.
Know it.
It can
right.
happen. But, like, this is kind of a scenario that it always kind of troubles me a little bit. And I know Jerry Jones is a hype machine, but isn't there inadvertent pressure that's put on Dak to come back when your owner is on his radio show talking about speculation from timelines, from doctors?
Absolutely.
And that's the part that if you're sitting there, you're watching Cooper Rush do his thing, you're telling me Russell Wilson said that he's felt like he came back too early.
Right.
There has to be a cloud that sits over Dak about, like, well, what's going on with this scenario right now?
100% agree. And here's the thing. It's not just Jerry Jones. Like, we as football players and any athlete, you know this as well. When you know, like there's a saying, right? You're injured, you're bad, right? Because the guy behind you, like, I got my start in the NFL because someone got injured, right? Like, and so, and guess what? I ain't relinquishing it, right? Once I got the gig, I'm so. Don't mistake that Cooper Rush wants to be a starting quarterback in the NFL. He thinks he's good enough, and he may well go on and be a great quarterback in the NFL. So that's the question. But if you're a player, it's not just Jerry. It's your own mentality of how you got to be where you are. The great ones don't get there, or the good ones, however you want to frame, they don't get there by resting and watching other guys go do it. So you have that internal pressure you're already putting on yourself. Then Jerry gets up and says what he says, right? I want a QB cut. So absolutely there's part of you that goes. And everybody's like, oh, he's making $40 million a year. He doesn't care. Money doesn't change those feelings. We all know that, right? The man's getting paid handsomely, great, good for him. He's earned it. But that doesn't change the struggle you have inside. You want to be the man, and you want to go play and go out there for your guys. I 100% agree. It is a push, and it's an internal push that Dak is going to have to squelch himself and go, hey, I got to be smart here. Because I agree, you can re-injure things. Your hand's going to get hit, right? Like – It could hit your offensive line's helmet tomorrow. That is not the thing that you want to go on. So I'm with you on that. I would sit.
So there seem to be two things going on when the football people talk, like you and Key. One is, look, eyeball test. Dak is better than Cooper Rush. We know, we've looked at it. Dak's better than Cooper Rush. And the second thing is he's in the middle of the money still.
Right.
It's not like the money's about to run out. And so
right.
The reality is, so you guys are dealing in reality. This is what is going to happen. On the other hand, to me, you could say, well, he's squeaking by teams. There's something about, like, a magic formula in football where no matter how much you know about it, your knowledge is never going to be perfect.
Sure.
No one knows exactly what is going to lead to the win. So my thing is, if the team is winning, well, that's just because they simplify things, but they're winning. Why would Jerry touch that until they lose? Why touch it? You're winning every game. Why touch it?
Because you want your best 11 out there. You want to give yourself the best chance to win. So, like, you understand if you're watching film and you're seeing, you know, you understand what's happening in your locker room. You understand how guys are finding ways to win. You're seeing development of other plays around. Like, I will tell you, I didn't think this offensive line would be as good as they are right now.
Yeah.
So, we'll give Cooper Rush all his flowers. I get it, right? But you're not asking him to throw for 300 yards and drive it. So, everything is staying kind of in phase for the Cowboys. You haven't seen the Tampa Bay game, right? Like, if Cooper Rush started the Tampa Bay game, what would that game have looked like? Would he have played better than Dak? I don't think so, because I think Tampa's defense is that good. When you play the Commanders,
the other pieces function better if what you're saying is other guys are stepping up, and you know what I mean? So maybe the outcome is different. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, so if that's the thinking, why would one game change your mind? Because now he's 3-1, now he's 4-1, now he's 5. So, like, at what point do you just go, no, Cooper Rush is now my starter because he started hot, and we're going to ride this thing all the way to the playoffs? Like, I think that's the part that you get into. Well, is one loss enough? Is two losses enough?
Like, one loss enough for me.
Where is it going?
But I'm not touching it till he loses.
Yeah. So, I mean, that would be – but wherever that happens, now you're going to go ask Dak to come back in. I think that's the difficulty in that situation.
Yeah, we need to we – that ain't going to happen, though, Max.
I know.
You might as well forget that one.
Right,
but
right.
one thing that did happen, Jeff, is much like I said after the game on Sunday, the Mitch Trubisky era is over in Pittsburgh, and they're moving forward with Kenny Pickett. So why is Mitch Trubisky all, you know, feeling a certain way about losing his job, knowing that he hasn't played great in the first four games of the season?
Well, I mean, listen, he's getting a lot of the blame. I mean, I know Mike T got up there and was like, you know, this is not an indictment on the way he played. You know, this is because we're not scoring enough points, and, you know, quarterbacks get too much blame and too much credit. Only one guy lost their job. I ain't seen many other ones lose them. And so it is a blame game. But you and I both – the spark part, though, I would say – is pretty truthful. Like you and I both know, like a young player coming in or a rookie quarterback coming in, his eyes, right? He's got them big eyes, right? So like the energy he's going to bring to the huddle is going to be different because it is new to him. It is fresh to him. The excitement is there. You saw the way he came in. I mean, he was a perfect 13-13, right? 10 to his own team, 3 to the other guys. So ball never touched the ground. He's all kind of fired up. You saw him take some shots, get up smiling. It's that type of energy, I think, that Tomlin wants. This team is not good, and especially with T.J. Watt not playing, even on defense, they can't close games out. They can't run the ball effectively. Their offensive line is not good. They're better at pass protecting, but they're still not good at it. He's going to take shots, but they want the energy, and they want that vibe. But it's not – listen, they're not going to be any better than with Trubisky. They have to fix more than just one problem.
Jeff, are you covering for your North Carolina alumni? is this what I'm watching in real time?
I mean, I got a slight bias here. A slight bias.
I've seen it before.
Admitted slight bias.
Well, let me ask you this. Right. So if, because you play for this team as well.
Yeah.
If you're the Colts and you're sitting there looking at Matt Ryan, oof, like with the way this season's going thus far, and I know you beat the Chiefs. Okay.
Yeah.
Are you looking at Mitch and you're saying, like, what is Frank Reich going to do with this whole – do you stick with Matt Ryan? Is that it?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're going to ride – you know, this is their fourth or fifth quarterback. I don't know what it is since Andrew Luck. This is a lot. So they're going to be patient. They're going to be patient with Ryan. If they didn't go with Matt Ryan, Nick Foles is there. So he would be their guy who's going to come in and play, and he's familiar with Frank's system and all those things. It's a struggle right now in Indy. Like Matt Ryan has, and I think they knew to a degree it would be a slow start. I don't think they expected this kind of start. I mean, the guy's put the ball on the ground 9 times or some kind of crazy in the fumbles. He's turned it over. Offensive line has not played well. They can't run the ball. They got problems. I don't think the quarterback again fixes their problems. I expected the first game or two to be iffy. Ooh, this thing has been bad, bro. Like bottom of the, I mean, you know, bottom of the barrel type bad. And that cannot continue for any of these guys.
They need to just go young, Jeff, and forget about all this, trying to, these retread quarterbacks. You're right. They've gone to Brissett, which is, you know, that was a deal. Then they obviously, Phillip Rivers, and then Carson Wentz, and now Matty Ice. But at this point, if it doesn't work out at the end of the year, just go draft somebody and stop playing
games.
They
got caught with their pants down. Like, no one was expecting Andrew Luck at the age of 30 just to walk away, right? So then all of a sudden you're like, oh, wait, we're built to win now. What do we do?
Yeah.
We're not in a position to just draft a quarterback high up, but they're going to have to draft and develop a guy, it sounds like.
Yeah, absolutely.
The great Jeff Saturday, ladies and gentlemen, ESPN NFL analyst extraordinaire. Where does Aaron Judge's season rank among the best in baseball history? Keyshawn, J. Willimax, ESPN Radio.
From your radio to your smart speaker and phone.
Now playing ESPN Radio.
Or watch on ESPN2. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Live weekday morning starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2.